Friday 13, May 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure glad you tuned into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church, located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're glad to have you aboard with us today. Would you join us for prayer? Father, bless us now with thy word. Oh, thank you for the love that drew salvation's plan. Thank you for the love that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that thou, dear God, did expand at Calvary. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at this wonderful topic, the love of God, differentiating between phileo, which is brotherly love, a human tenderness toward each other, and thank God for that kind of tenderness. My dear friend, that is not the love of God. That is not the highest form of love. That is not the form of love that is spoken of here in 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. After Paul had admonished the Corinthians concerning their gifts, he said, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And chapter 13 is a continuation, of course, of chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And so here we have the illustration of someone being great orators, and yet if they have not charity, and the word charity is the word agape, which is the highest form of love in the New Testament. It is love that comes from God, and I'm thankful we can return to God. We love him because he first loved us. And we might be people who are greatly gifted with prophecy and understanding mysteries and knowledge and having all faith, being a man of great faith, so that we could remove mountains. And yet, if we have not the love of God, we are nothing. And we can be altogether generous. We can bestow our goods to feed the poor and give our body to be burned. And yet, if we have not the love of God in our heart and life, it doesn't profit us anything. If you're with us on the last broadcast, you know that the word phileo means tender affection. It is also used, brotherly love. It's used some 415 times in the New Testament. And according to Mr. John Phillips, about half the times it is used negatively. And the word phileo, that is brotherly love, is never used in any command of or to man to love God. Jesus was challenging Peter, you remember, after his resurrection, and he was trying to get Peter to admit that he would love him with agape love, and if not, maybe even just as in brotherly love, our Lord Jesus Christ was challenging Peter. Now, the word agape is the greatest word for love in the New Testament, and again, I am using some notes from Dr. John Phillips, which I greatly appreciate, and we close our last broadcast with this great truth, that agape, or godly love, is the love of the Father for the Son. If you have time to go to John chapter 17 and verse 26, "And I have declared unto them thy name," Jesus is speaking. This is a high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 17. And he says to the Father, "I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Now, he was not speaking about phileo, brotherly love, being in him and in us, but rather agape, that the love for which thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. And I know you're ahead of me now because you know that John 3:16 also proves to us the love of the Father, not only for the Son, but for the human race. That's for you and me, dear friend. The most familiar verse in the scripture tells us this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So not only is the word agape used for the love of the Father for the Son, but it is also used the love of the Father for you and for me, for the human race. It is a love that is perfectly enshrined in Christ Jesus himself. The Bible says God is love. And our Lord Jesus Christ was love incarnate, love manifest in the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 we read, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead." You got this, dear friend? For the agape, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It's not brotherly love that will constrain us to serve God. It was not just brotherly love. It was a love for Christ that would cause our forefathers to go to the stakes, to be burned, to be crucified. You read Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll read about awesome suffering that the saints have gone through, and that was because their love for God and their responding to God's love for them. You see, this love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is manifest in the life of all of us who are saved. Let me say this again. Agape love is the love of the blessed Holy Spirit that is seen in the life of the believer. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." And the Bible goes on to say there's no law against these. But what did it start out with? What is the prime fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer? Well, we just read it, did we not? "But the fruit of the Spirit is first of all love, then it's joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and truth," and so forth. You see, the word agape, this word for love, appears some 320 times in the New Testament. And dear friend, it is hardly ever used in a negative way. And let me say today, just before we close, that this wonderful word, agape love, seeks the welfare of everyone. Whenever it's used, it is always seeking the welfare of those that it is extended to, whether it's the love of God to man, the love of man to God, or godly love that God gives us for each other. It is also always to be for the welfare of everyone. In Romans 15 and verse 2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Well, dear friend, we're just really getting started here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as part of our series of messages. God has really blessed my heart in this, and I hope he's blessing your heart as well. Regardless of what else we might be able to do, how well we may be able to serve, what we might be able to have, you see, dear friend, the true test of spirituality is not how famous we are or how much we might accumulate, but the true test of Christianity is how much of the love of God do we have in our hearts and lives, and how much of that love do we demonstrate in our lives back to God and to others as well. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And he was not speaking about brotherly love. He was speaking about the love that God has given to us, that we are to return to him and to others as well. Well, dear friend, this broadcast is targeted for the end of our broadcast week. I hope you're making plans, if at all possible, to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this coming Lord's Day. You say, "Preacher, you say that every week." Yes, sir, I sure do. The Bible says we're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I realize some of you cannot get into a good fundamental Bible-believing church. If you have access to the internet, let me invite you to join us for our services, www.calbapt.org, www.calbapt.org. And please join us next broadcast if you can.